What an honor it is to teach and preach God's Word, to encourage the body of Christ and reach the lost for Jesus Christ. Tony Broom Ministries presents the following teaching session entitled The Bible and Culture. I just want to say how much I appreciate everybody taking their time to come in the Zoom Broom Room every week. Appreciate you so much, and I love you. I don't know us not being able to get together sometimes in church now. We don't get to tell each other that much all the time, but I do love you very much. And God loves you, and He has a plan and purpose for everything that's going on, and especially for our life. Our session this time is about culture. Culture has to do with customs, arts, and social activities of a certain group, people, or nation. So your culture. Different people have different cultures. Behavior, conduct, how you behave yourself, how you act, what you do, that's your culture. And sometimes we hear people talk about their culture and they excuse the way that they act because of their culture. They say, well, this is my culture. This is the way I do. God calls His people to live by biblical values in a sinful culture. And Philippians talks about holding forth the word of life to a sinful generation. You're like torches that shine out in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. The Bible and culture. We can say, well, culture is the rule of the hour. If you turn on the news and you read the news, culture seems to be the rule of the hour. Whatever they say, that's just the culture. That's just the way we do things. But the Bible has the answer for what we need. The Bible is our rule book of faith and practice. That's what most Christian churches, I don't care what kind of church it is, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, all of them have something to that degree in their literature that says we believe the Bible to be our rule book of faith and practice. So the Bible is a standard, not the culture. If the culture is the standard, then that's where we are in this secular generation that we live in. The Bible is the standard for those who believe. And we are to pray. And I just wanted to step back and kind of slow down a little bit. I like preaching Jesus. Glory to God. Get right with God. Praise the Lord. And I love it too. But I just wanted to step back and slow down a little bit and let us know that God still has the answer, that His word is still real. And God calls us to live in this culture that we're living in. He calls His people to live by biblical values in a sinful culture. Generation is another word that we sometimes use to talk about culture. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 is our key verse, our golden text. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's the little song that we teach the children. Us big kids like it too. Our light is to shine. How do we let our light shine? Well, this verse says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The good works that we do. Now, works do not save you, but they are a result of your salvation. When a person gets right with God, they want to work. They want to do something. And this is one of the handicaps of a pandemic. The things that we're going through now, we feel like we just cannot do anything. I even tell the Lord sometimes, Lord, I don't feel like I've done a thing for Christ today. But I know that, as our pastor said the other night, we do bear fruit. Just coming together in Zoom, coming together on the Facebook Live, or however we can get together now, that's bearing fruit just by being together, by listening to God's Word, and it produces faith in our heart. That's bearing fruit. And letting our light so shine before men that they may see the good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Sometimes we don't think that people will pay any attention to us because we're not out marching in the streets. We're not out causing trouble. We're not out doing all this. The TV camera's not on us. You don't have to worry. Some humble woman who loves God, some humble saint who loves God, filled with the Holy Ghost, yet the TV camera never turns on them. Well, the Lord says, if we pray in secret, He'll reward us openly. And all we have to do is just seek His face and put Him first in our life. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. Culture, then, is our behavior, the way we do and the way we act. That is not the measuring rule. It's the Bible. The Bible, the Word of God, is the measuring rule. And even though we might not be in the limelight, even though we might not have the cameras on us, the world will take notice if we live the way that God wants us to live, because they will see our good works and they'll glorify our Father who is in heaven. Be salt and light. We are salt and we are light. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. The salt. Well, I've heard all kind of things. Salt preserves and salt tastes good. Medical science says salt's bad for you. Don't eat no salt. Well, Jesus said salt's good. And I like what he said. I'd rather believe what he says. Of course, we know that medically, you have to watch yourself, your salt intake. But salt helps things taste better. Salt helps things just go better. And so salt preserves and salt flavors. You are the salt of the earth. That is the believer, the church. But when we say the church, we're not talking about a building. We're not talking about some organized movement. We're talking about the people. He didn't say it is the salt of the earth. He said you. Ye are the salt of the earth. And he's talking to people. He's talking to his disciples. And that's the ones he had to speak to at that time. But actually, he's talking to you and I. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the ones who are there to preserve and there to give flavor. If this whole earth and world only had the left wing side, and I know that's the only side you see on TV, and that's the only side that's out there, and that's the only side that's presented. And by the way, when I talk about things like this, I'm not trying to put anybody in particular down. I'm just trying to share God's word and preach and teach the truth. And if it hits, it hits. But I'm not speaking against anyone. I'm not speaking against any particular group just to speak against them. If God's word speaks against them, then that's their business. That's God's business. God spoke against Israel. He told Israel, look, you were like a backsliding heifer. He spoke against them. He spoke against his own people. And he speaks against the church. Jesus said, look, you've lost your first love. You're like a dead corpse. You have a name that you live, but you're dead. He told the church like it was. And that Laodicean church, you're lukewarm. He said, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. And so he didn't play around. He spoke love and he spoke kindness, but he told it like it was when he needed to. And so that's what the Word of God does. The salt, if it loses its flavor, its saltness, it's good for nothing. It may still have a crunch to it. It may still have a sh-sh-sh-sh when you shake it in the shaker, but it's no good. And we have to be shaken out on this earth. Thank God that the left side, the left, the liberal, that's not the only picture that's out there. That may be the only picture you see and hear. But thank God for His people. Thank God for His preserving salt that's in this earth right now that's keeping back the hand of evil. And Paul talks about the Holy Spirit. You know who now lets and who is a governor on this thing and who holds back evil from being a whole lot worse than it is. You know that he's the one that's holding all this back. And when he's taken out of the way, his influence or control, whatever you want to term it, however you want to express it, when that's taken out of the way, if you think things are bad now, you just wait till then, and we don't want to wait till then, just expression. But it will be terrible then. We're the salt of the earth to preserve that, to put a little bit of salt and put a little bit of light on the subject. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You cannot hide the light. They may not pay much attention to it all the time, but you cannot hide it. It's like a city that's set on a hill. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You take that candle, you take that lamp, and you don't hide it under a bed, under a bushel. The song said, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. And we shine that light, and we let it shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, I'm glad this is in the session today because it needs to be said, because we do preach the new covenant. We are in the new covenant. We live under the new covenant. We live under the covenant of grace and mercy, and we're not under the law. Now, the world is. Everyone who is not born again is still under the law. They're secular. They're in sin. They're not born again. They're not under grace. They're in the dispensation of grace. But the only ones who are in and really under grace are those who belong to Christ. We are not under the law. We are under grace, and we are in the grace of God. But that doesn't mean that the law is bad. That doesn't mean some preachers even preach. The law is done away with. That's gone. No, it's not gone. It's just fulfilled. Fulfilled is a whole lot better than gone. Jesus said, I fulfilled it. I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. If anybody had the power and the right to destroy it, it would be Jesus. But he didn't do that. He said, I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. And the law and the prophets is the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. I did not come to destroy that. I came to fulfill that. He is the fulfillment of the law. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. The law is still here. You cannot get out from under the law. And they have laws on the books, and they can change those laws and do away with them. They can tear down things, but you cannot get away from the law. The law will be here till heaven and earth pass. One jot or one tittle will not fail from the law till all is fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And so we are not here to undermine the law. We're not here to talk or bash the law. God's law is holy and just and good. It's us who were not holy and just and good. We were the ones, our culture, we were the ones who couldn't keep the law. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, let me lay it on the line to you like it really is. If your righteousness does not exceed, if it does not get better than the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, what is the scribes and Pharisees' righteousness? They didn't have righteousness, but if you want to express it like that, what would it be? They had the law, and they had their own twist to it, and they were known as ones to try to keep the law. They could not keep it, did not keep it, because they didn't know the God of the law. But they had this religion. They had religion, but they didn't have salvation. And that's what Jesus was teaching. You can have religion and still die and go to hell. But if you have salvation, you go to heaven. Except your righteousness will exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so culture is important, but the Bible is more important. Scriptures and the arts. The arts have to do with not only painting on the wall, but building, and it goes all together. Exodus 31, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel. Bezalel means in the protection of God, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Now, we say again, here's a teaching. The teaching is like this. We have the Holy Ghost now. He comes upon us. He fills us. And that's us now. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost came upon people from time to time. Now, that's generally true. But here's what's wrong with the teaching. The teaching says that nobody in the Old Testament had the Holy Spirit in them. Well, the Bible tells us that Moses had the Holy Spirit in him, and it says right here, this Bezalel, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Whoa, that does away with that theology, doesn't it? I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom. He had wisdom, he had understanding and knowledge, all manner of workmanship. Here's a guy that could do anything. You know, jack of all trades and good at none. Well, he was a jack of all trades and good at everything. To devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, in cutting of stones to set them, and carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. This man was appointed as chief architect in the construction of the tabernacle furnishings. So he was an important guy, and he could do almost anything. This is what we would call talented. If you have the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, it's called anointed. And if you're not born again, you're just good at something, it's called talented. We have people in church. They have a good voice. There's someone right here in town. He has a good voice. He goes around, sings in churches. A lot of people don't even know he's a Mormon. And they don't care, apparently don't know. All they know, he's got a good voice. Well, so does Elvis Presley. Well, he did have. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. But you know where that good voice started out at? A lot of these people had the talent that God gave them in church, and they turned around and used it for the devil. Sam Cooke is another example. He was a great gospel singer, but he ended up going soul. And that's not S-O-U-L, it's S-O-L-E, by the way. And she was only 16. She was too young to know. Well, we need to sing for Jesus and play for Jesus and live for Jesus and quit mixing up with the world and a culture. That culture will grab you. That culture will get you. And I know as a musician, it is a strong pull. We have the currents that they're dealing with in the oceans now, that tug. And that strong pull will get you and will pull you in to that worldly thing. 1 Corinthians 10, 31 and 32. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Boy, that's a tall order to fill, is it not, my beloved? And so we're to try to be at peace with all men and to live in the culture the best that we can and let God's word guide us. This Bezalel was not only talented, but he was anointed because he was saved. That is, he was a righteous man in the Old Testament. God had filled him with the Spirit of God. It's more to be talented. It's more to be able to sing and to play well or pretty, we say. You have to have the anointing of the Spirit of God. And if you're born again, you have the anointing of the Spirit of God. Put God first and then the talent second. Don't put the talent first and then God second, because God doesn't play second fiddle in anybody's band. You got to put God first, and you got to let him be the leader and to be the captain. Do not give offense. That's what God's people need to do. We need to live a life in such a way that we're in favor with God and man. That's the way the early church was. Do not give offense to Jew, to Gentile, or to the church of God. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When you can do something for the Lord, you do the best that you can, and you know that God will take care of you, that your work, your labor, is not in vain in the Lord. You may feel like you're not making any difference, but you are. You can make a difference in this world in which we live. Biblical wisdom on or concerning entertainment. There's so much what you call entertainment today, Hollywood or Hollywood and Netflix and all these things. There's some good in there. You really have to piece through there and try to find it. But entertainment, we have to be entertained constantly. And the Bible says Israel was to be entertained too. They were to be entertained by knowing God, by constantly talking about His Word, by talking about the things of God. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Boy, this talks about the culture in which we're living. They say that something is light, you better say it's dark. They say it's dark, you better say it's light. They say something is sweet, you better say it's bitter. They say it's bitter, you know it's sweet. It's always usually opposite from what this world says. And that's not us. We're not opposite from God. When God says, my ways are higher than the heavens, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts, He was talking to His people who were away from Him at that time. He's not talking to born-again people. Born-again people, our thoughts are His thoughts. Now, not all of them. We haven't gotten to heaven yet. But our ways are His ways. We have the mind of Christ. God says, woe to those who call good evil, evil good, darkness light, light darkness, bitter sweet, sweet bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. They got the big head. They're looking out for the big eye, but they're not listening to the Lord. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. This is going on in our nation, and it's sending our nation plunging people into hell, which justify the wicked for a reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. They don't listen to what's right. They don't go by what is legal or what is innocent or guilty. They go by what the almighty dollar says. And I shouldn't even use that expression, almighty dollar, because there's not but one almighty, and that's God Almighty. But they have the dollar. The dollar rules everything as far as they're concerned. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. God's word will come out on top, and His word is forever settled in heaven. Even in this evil culture in which we live, we can think on good things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. And he says, think on these things. There's some 8 things here. When you think there's no good news, I told Miss Peggy this morning, you turn on the TV just to hear a little local news, and everything that comes on there is bad. There's no good news in it. There's not one story to which they would even say, look, this is getting a little bit better. No, everything seems to be bad. But he says here, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. There are still some things in this world that are true. There are still some things in this world which are honest. Whatsoever things are just or righteous. Whatsoever things are pure. Pure, praise God, righteousness, holiness, goodness, meekness, love, the fruit of the Spirit that's pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. There are lovely things in this world. It's more than just birds and a tree and the mountain range and the hills and valleys and the sparkling, babbling brooks of water. There are a whole lot more lovely things. Lovely, how good and lovely and pleasant it is for brethren to come together in unity. You say, well, we can't come together now. Well, we're doing a pretty good job. We can get together in the Zoom room. We can do the best we can until we can do better. And that's not even good enough. We really don't want to be satisfied till we get together in heaven. And when the saints go marching in, what a wonderful day that will be. Whatsoever things are of good report. All those evil reports. All the evil reports are going on. Nothing good. You can't find a good thing in it. But he said, whatsoever things are of good report. When you read Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Acts and Romans and the epistles, you can read even the Old Testament, Psalms and Proverbs and the prophets. There's some judgment there, but it's some good news. You want to have a good report? Read the Word of God. That's a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. There are some good things that we can focus on. The Bible has the answer for our culture. Jesus is still the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is still the only way. Father, thank you for the opportunity to look at this word today, the Bible and culture. Lord, your word speaks to us. Your word shows us how to live, and it calls on us in which we live in this hour right now to be a faithful servant, to be a faithful witness, a son and a daughter of the Most High God, to be a witness to this generation. Lord, I pray today that you would strengthen your people to walk on the high places, lift up our feet like deer's feet, Lord. Cause us to triumph. We are triumphing in Christ, and you always cause us to triumph in Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that this word, let our light so shine before men that they may see the good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven, who give you praise and thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You have been listening to a Bible teaching session entitled The Bible and Culture. This speaks to our culture today. The only real answer is to know Jesus Christ as Savior and make Him your Lord. Do so now if you have not done so already. If you have, you're sure to know it. This has been a production of Tony Broome Ministries.